Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And if you can't listen live, know that all of our shows, including this one, can be found at answers.network. And I'd also really appreciate it if you could do me a wonderful favor. Forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, our topic today is, if retention is the answer, what are the questions? The world has been changing, and in the area of business and the recent pandemic, it appears to have shined a bright light on the importance of employee retention. Our guest, Deborah Corey, is a highly experienced and award-winning HR leader, world-class speaker, four-time best-selling author, and has been named as one of the top 101 global employee engagement influencers and one of HR's most influential thinkers. Deborah has worked for global companies where she's developed and delivered HR strategies in a rebellious way, pushing the boundaries and challenging the status quo to truly drive employee engagement. In 2019, Deborah founded her own company as Chief Pay It Forward Officer. By the way, I love that title, where she's inspiring and helping others to bring out their inner rebel and drive business change. Over the course of her career, Deborah has fueling the employee engagement revolution through a variety of ways, including speaking at events and leading workshops around the world, teaching professional courses, and her writing. Here to talk about her most recent book, Appreciate It, the Playbook for Employee Retention, Deborah, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much for joining or for asking me to join you today.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I appreciate the fact that you rushed through your, maybe not your morning. I'm saying, what country are you in right now?
So I live in the UK. It's 7 o'clock at night. So if my brain isn't as quick as yours today, I apologize. And I was in London today. So yeah, I rushed off the train. I was looking forward to joining you today.
Well, again, it's my pleasure. So I talked a little bit about the introduction about, you know, what you've done, but what inspired you to then decide to write a book about this particular subject?
So it's interesting. I've written five books in 5 years. I'm a bit mad. And my whole idea about when is the right time to write a book is when I see that there's a problem, which I'm sure we'll talk more about the problem. If I have a solution, so it's all well and good to, you know, if there's a problem, but if I have something that I've been telling people and helping people over and over again, it's like, okay, that's a book. And also, I had written a book earlier last year on recognition and appreciation for people like me in HR. And every time I did a session with managers, they're like, oh, can you write something for us? We need something. So long story short, those are the three reasons why I decided to write this book at this point in time.
Well, it was interesting to me that on my drive here into the studio, I was listening to a sports station where the host made an interesting comment about a coach who questioned a player's loyalty, and he questioned it publicly. And the host said, I wonder if the coach looked in the mirror first. If you have not been showing loyalty to your players, how can you expect them to do so for you? And I heard that, and I pulled over and then dictated it into my phone so that I would remember it, because I thought, what a perfect example of what your book is about. Talk about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's so basic. And I was in London today doing a workshop with a bunch of HR apprentices. So, you know, just entering the workforce, they're still going to college, university. And when I asked them why they thought it was important for their employers to recognize them, one of the first things they said is, it shows, it shows me that my employer, my company, my manager cares about me and that they actually see me. Mm-hmm. And that's very true to what you said about the coach. You know, if you're not, as a coach, showing your players that you see them, you value them, then, you know, using the basketball analogy, why would I run as fast as I can, get hit in the elbow by the other players, and give my all for my coach and for my team? I'm not going to do it.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. Now, one of the things that I like in most any book where we're gathering information is the science behind it. Because I get so many people that say, yeah, okay, well, this is this person's opinion or that person's opinion. Share a little bit about the science behind employee retention. Because I love the fact that you had things and you backed them up in there.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because I always talk about the math and the science. So I'm going to take a step back because okay. I probably didn't share enough about the problem. But if you look at the math behind the problem with recognition, it's things like 7 out of 10 people said that in the last year, nobody has thanked them. So like these coaches out there who aren't thanking people, about half of the people said that even if they are being thanked, it's meaningless and it's an empty gesture. You know, it's like someone passing you in the hallway going, yeah, thanks. And then the one that's really scary, which goes back to what you said at the very beginning in the introduction, is that about 8 out of 10 people said the main reason why they decided to leave their company was actually a lack of appreciation. So that's the problem. That's the math. And then the science. And I love the science behind things. I love thinking about how the brain works. And the great thing about recognition is that, and think about this next time someone thanks you. When somebody thanks you, you genuinely feel appreciated. These chemicals are going off in your brain. Mm-hmm. It's your hippocampus. I can never say it. And it's that part of your brain that has emotions. And it makes you have those feelings. And it also has a lot to do with your memory. So happiness chemicals are released every single time that you're recognized. And they make you feel great. I always make the joke that my husband, who's about 6'4", he's from Texas. And he came in and told me how he was in the office all day. And he came back and he said, I was so excited. I got named the employee of the month or whatever, something like that. He said, I basically just skipped through the hallways, you know, all day long, skipping down the hallways, floating. A 6'4" guy from Texas, skipping and floating down the hallways. You know, those chemicals are absolutely being released. And the last part of it is the good thing is those happiness chemicals are the same ones that are released when you eat chocolate and there's no calories in recognition. So there you go. Win-win.
Well, and when you talk to him, tell him, I love the fact that he still skips and I probably could guess that he might still ride shopping carts in the parking lot. And if so, I'm right there with him.
I was just about to say, is that what you do when no one's looking? That's what you do. There you go. Those are happiness chemicals. I'm sure you're probably making lots of fun noises as you do it.
Yep. We have a comment that's coming in. And again, I want to take the time to thank those that take the time to send in a comment, some of which do it ahead of time because they're working at this particular time that the show is live. And we get a lot from teachers. And this first one is from a teacher. It says, I know this book is about business primarily, but as a teacher for over 20 years in all grade levels, my comment is that I believe the most important character molding values are disappearing in today's family. I see a very significant difference between students who have strong appreciation models in place at their home and those that do not. These children are happier, much more attentive, and so much easier to teach. Unfortunately, there appears to be fewer of them in our schools. I look forward to reading your book. We need more of this discussion. What are some of the traits you write about in your book that can help to build stronger families? And this is from Louisa in Nevada.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of research and work that's been done on the different generations in the workplace and what they want and how they think. And if you think about some of the more younger generations, it is much more of a culture of appreciation and thanks. I mean, think about it. You know, like when I was growing up, the only person who would get a trophy would be the person who won the race. Nowadays, you know, you get the first place, the second place, the third place, the runner up. Everyone else gets certificates. And it's definitely done more and more. But what I like about what that teacher said is that it's not always done in a genuine and meaningful way. So you can tell in families where they genuinely show appreciation. And we'll talk more about that later, because then they become the kind of person who does it with others and it gets more out of them. So I think that it goes back to that statistic before, is there needs to be more of this genuine and meaningful appreciation. I can remember I went to my daughter's end of the year assembly. I'm sure we've all sat through those before, you know, 6 hours and every child wins a prize. And the whole time I'm thinking, is my daughter ever going to get a prize? You know, she didn't win for the smartest or for the fastest or any of those things. And then they finally gave her an award for the kindest student. And she turned and she looked at me. She goes, I am so embarrassed. They're only giving this to me because they don't want me to feel left out. But it doesn't feel like genuine appreciation. So even our kids in school know when it's not working.
Wow. That's interesting. As I think about that, I mean, to a certain degree, it's rather sad, if that's how they're feeling. But on the other hand, I mean, there's also this movement or whatever that they're trying to give a participation trophy for every sporting activity and things like that, which mm-hmm. I also disagree with, because if you give it to everybody, then it's not special anymore. So where do you draw that line or that balance?
Yeah, and there's a great book by Daniel Pink called Drive, and it focuses on the whole idea of intrinsic and extrinsic. And to some extent, I think that we're trying to mask intrinsic motivation, what you should be getting yourself. Like, you should be excited to participate in a race. You should be mm-hmm. excited when you finish, you know, go over the finish line. You shouldn't have to get a certificate. You shouldn't have to get these things. So I do think that to some extent, we've gone one step too far with that whole, and we need to rely on ourselves a little bit more for that whole concept of intrinsic motivation. And, you know, he talks about the whole idea of the carrot and the stick, and do we always need to have a carrot? Like in the workshop today, I said, you know, one of their company values is innovation. And I said, we want to recognize people who really go above and beyond to innovate, but we don't want the prize to be so big that that's the only reason they do it. We want them to innovate because they love innovating. They know it's right for the company. Oh, and by the way, we want to thank you for it, that type of thing. And I think that it needs to have more of that in order to be meaningful.
Well, when you're talking about recognition, there's different styles. And I think that's one of the things that I think for anybody that's worked in different businesses. And I was just at a small dinner party, and one of the women there was talking about the different styles. And I guess she had been with a company for 20 years and they got bought out. And all of a sudden there was a new, a new management, and the new management had a very different recognition style, which essentially was nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very negative. And she actually ended up leaving a company where she was highly sought after, but she left the company because of that fact, because all of a sudden this new management style came in and said, okay, you've all been doing this a long time. You know, we don't need to tell you how good you are. You already are. And she said that she realized that she started dreading going to work. So what are some of the different styles, and how can people, if they're feeling that way, what are some of the things they can do to maybe improve the situation so that they don't have to just leave?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just want to go back to your point about, you know, they come in the business and they just think that you don't need to do recognition. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, to be honest with you, because when I do workshops with managers, there's always that one or two people sitting in the back of the room, rolling their eyes, going, yeah, I'm only here because I have to be here. No one ever recognized me when I was starting out my career. Why do I need to, you know, recognize them? And that's why I go into so much detail about the math, because every single person is motivated by different things. So, right. you know, I'm a people person. When I hear statistics that say that, you know, when I show appreciation, it's going to make my people happier, or it's going to reduce burnout, or it's going to support their well-being. To me, that's enough proof. But then there's mm-hmm. other people, like it sounds like maybe in this particular company, where they need to understand the business aspect of it. So it's going to make me more productive. I think one study said that just by one piece of recognition and gratitude, your productivity increases by 30%. Because all of a sudden those chemicals are going off, but also yeah. every time you recognize someone, it helps them know, oh, do you know what I did was the right thing to do? I need mm-hmm. to do more of that. And I'm going to be more productive when I do that. So, you know, I think first of all, with those types of people, I'd want to understand what motivates them and what are the numbers and what are the reasons why it's important, because I'm a very competitive kind of person and I feel like I can convince anybody of the importance of recognition. I just need to know what's going to motivate them. You know, somebody who only cares about themselves, it's like, oh yeah, okay, they're going to help you look good because they're going to do A, B, and C and that type of thing. So I think it starts with helping them understand the why. And then to your point about the what, everybody is so different. Everybody has their own style on how they give recognition, but also how they want to receive recognition. And mm-hmm. that's really where the magic happens. When you find a way that works for you, but also it's what works for them. And I'll give you a perfect example. Yeah. I had this somebody on my team once and she was so outgoing, you know, she loved to be the center of attention. And she helped me with this project where I had to present in front of, I don't know, 500 people on stage. And I knew that the best way to thank her for her help was to pull her up on stage. And it didn't cost me any money. Pull her up on stage, tell everybody what amazing job she did, you know, show examples of what she had done. She was on cloud nine. I got off stage. I had about three other people on my team who came up to me and said, please never do that to me. That would be, I don't care how much I help you, please never do that to me, because it would be punishment if you did something like that. So that's why it's like, I had to figure out what felt comfortable for me. And it felt comfortable for me embarrassing her on stage. Some people might not like it. And what was also comfortable for her. And then, you know, we'll talk more about all the different ways you can do it. But to me, again, that's where I use the word magic, but that is where the magic happens.
You know, I'm so glad that that story went that way, because as you started it, I started to think this was going to be that person that just freezes and like, oh my God, don't do this to me. but that's also, I think, part of being a good manager is you need to know which one you can do this with and which one you can do that with. I mean, any person, any manager, coach, or anything that's ever dealt with a professional team realizes that if you have 20 or 30 or however many people you have there, how do you make those decisions on which one? Because they're all going to be a little different. So yeah. You obviously made the right choice. But as you were saying it, I have a tendency sometimes to jump forward to where I think we're going. And I went, oh.
Where is this ending? Where is this yes. ending? Yeah, no, you're right. And do you know what? I've had enough people. I mean, we've all done all those different kinds of personality tests and such. Mm-hmm. And I've had enough people who've reported to me where they're a bit shy. Like I had someone who the very first time she did a presentation, she couldn't have me in the room with her. That's how uncomfortable she was with it. So I've over the years, I've learned mm-hmm. how important it is to really understand my people, whether it comes to recognition or, I mean, anything else. And to be honest with you, it's not just in the workplace. You know, my kids are apples and oranges, you know, same parents, absolutely, you know, same, well, most of our DNA is the same, but are different as night and day. And I'm sure mm-hmm. everyone's kids are the same way. So, you know, we do it with our kids. We need to do it in the workplace as well.
You know, you mentioned either earlier or maybe even before we went on air, you know, the person that gives the eye roll in the back, you know, they give the eye roll like, oh, yeah, here we go with this. It reminded me of I'll give you a brief story, but I had a heckler, for lack of better terms, that started with the eye rolls and then eventually with, well, yeah, but you haven't been in my position, so you don't know this or you don't know that. And I want to know your thoughts on how to deal with that person. In that particular situation, I brought him up on stage. And I put him in a position of what it was that I was showing, that I was training. And I put him in the position of his own supervisor. And then I brought the supervisor up and put him in the position of the employee. And then had him role play it out in such a way that I think he got the message. But even more, I think that his supervisor got a message on how to deal with him more in the future. But I'm just curious, what are some of the things that you can do? Because I would imagine if you're doing this in multiple companies, you're going to have people that are going to challenge some of these rebellious things that you're bringing up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer that you have to start with understanding why. I mentioned it before. So why are they so resistant? You know, did something happen? Maybe they had a situation before where it didn't go well. And all of a sudden they're like, no, like petrified of it. So I think it's starting with that idea of why, putting yourself in their shoes so you can understand it. But what I love about your story is that you then put your employee in your shoes. Yeah. And I think that's brilliant. I mean, that's not necessarily recognition. That's just really good management because, you know, if your employees don't understand why you do something, so it's sort of flipping the why, you know, they're never going to embrace it. This has nothing to do with recognition, but I, at a company once, I was brought in to review all of their different benefit programs. And at the end, I decided that their most favorite benefit that everyone had just didn't make sense. It didn't align with the culture. It didn't align with our values. We were spending too much money on 5% of our employees. So I got rid of it. But the reason they didn't roll their eyes when I told them is I explained why. I said, I could spend this amount of money on 5% of employees, or I could take this money and every single employee would get the benefit. I said, I haven't made up my mind what to do yet. What would you like me to do? And same idea what you did. I put them in my shoes and I made them the decision maker. And it was funny because the benefit I got rid of was it was a staff lottery. So every month people could win. I think it was like one person won $1,000, another $500, and a couple people won $100. I think 10 people won $100. So that's a fair amount of money. And we were rewarding luck. I mean, that's what you were getting. You were getting money for luck. And I said, do you think it's better for me to take that money and reward you when you do amazing things?
Oh, beautiful.
And again, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. Except I had a couple people come up to me afterwards and they said, could you get rid of it next month? Because I'm feeling really lucky this month and I know I'm going to win.
I like it. Staying with the theme of recognition, share with us about five of the main, or I know there's many benefits, but about five of the main benefits of recognition that a manager can provide.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about recognition is it has such an impact to the business. You know, I talked before about things like, you know, it improves productivity, it improves sales, it improves, you know, burnout, turnover. But from a manager perspective, just that manager spending the time to do it, things like it can improve your relationship, which is a no-brainer. Because if you think about it, if you're spending the time and putting in the effort to recognize someone, of course, you're going to have a stronger relationship. You know, think of any of your friends. You've got a relationship with that person because it's give and take. So that's one. Related to that one, trust. You trust the person more because you have that stronger relationship. We talked about happiness. It improves morale. I think one study said 70% of people said that they would be more motivated and higher morale if their manager would simply thank them a bit more. Business results directly related to the manager. So one study said that companies are 9 times more likely to have strong business results if their managers do it. I mean, I'm a firm believer that everybody should recognize everyone, but there's something about getting it from your manager or your manager's manager. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine your manager's manager thanking you? You know, my 6'4" husband wouldn't just be skipping. He'd be doing cartwheels when something like that happened. And then the last one is that you're more likely to recognize someone else. So if your manager recognizes you, they're role modeling it. And then you go and you pay it forward, going back to my job title, you pay it forward and you make someone else feel great. How wonderful is that? So yeah, those are just a couple of the benefits of it. Yeah,
I love that. And as I said, I think in whatever my next job is going to be, I think I'm going to assign myself that title because I think it's beautiful.
That's what's good about when you start your own company. You can just call yourself whatever you want.
Yep. Now, I was thinking about, I was putting myself in your position, and I was thinking, okay, you're going into these businesses, many of which have traditional methods. Hmm. You're being brought in or hired by possibly somebody who set these traditional methods. Mm-hmm. How do you explain to them that those that they're using have maybe already fallen flat and that it's time to move on? How do you get them to go to that next level? Because at some point in time, I know that I've done things before where I started talking about how you can make something better, not realizing that the person that I was speaking to was the one that wrote it.
Yeah.
You know,
It's a really good point. And it's, I have to be completely honest with you. I've learned this lesson the hard way, you know, because a lot of times I go into companies and I'm supposed to be the expert. I'm supposed to go in and change everything. And then you're right. I walk all over people and I wonder why no one's talking to me. So I've learned to respect what people have done and go back to that idea of why did they do it? If you hear a bell right now, the ice cream truck just pulled up in front of my house. So if you can, hear it, would you like anything?
An orange sickle?
Yeah, well, I do live in the UK, so they've got different flavors on their ice cream. But yeah, the ice cream truck is right in front of my house. Anyway, so it's trying to understand why they did it, what they were trying to do, so that I can show them the respect that they deserve. Because, you know, I'm sure there were reasons for doing it, and I'm sure that I can learn from what they did. And then we go on a journey together, and we talk about how the workplace has changed, how our workforce has changed. You know, if you think about it, you know, they might have put in place a program that supported a bunch of people who were in the office 5 days a week. And now all of a sudden you've got people who are working remotely, people working hybridly. You know, once they hear that and they think about it, they're like, I think I need to change it. Or the demands in the workplace, it's more competitive now. You know, people can read things online about companies. So it's really trying to take them on that journey to see how the world has changed and then try to blend what they've learned from the past, because there might be some things that you can take. And move it into the future. And I did that with a company once. We had it was a global company. It was theme parks all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we all came together and it was like a show and tell. Show me what you've been doing. Show me what you've been doing. And we just did post-its all over the place. Love this. This will keep working. Another color. Need to change that. So it's really just bringing them on this journey with me and not doing it just to placate them, but because I genuinely want to learn from them the way that they can learn from me. That partnership and that trust, things we talked about before. It's, to be honest, I hadn't thought about it before, but it's recognition. I'm showing them that I appreciate what they did in the past.
I like it. We're talking with Deborah Corey, and the subject is her new book, Appreciated, The Playbook for Employee Retention. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers Network. And if you know somebody that can benefit from this, shoot them a message and tell them to tune in. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585 or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We're talking about appreciation. We're talking about recognition. And we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how we can appreciate others, but how can we best project to a manager or a supervisor what our own recognition style is to help them recognize us?
Yeah, I love that because, you know, it has to do with recognition, training, every aspect of the employee experience. You know, as employees, we just think that our managers know everything and then our managers have responsibility for everything. And anytime I do sessions with employees, I'm like, we all have responsibility. You know, a relationship involves two people. So it's your responsibility to tell your manager. You know, the manager should open the conversation with you, to be honest with you. But then you don't just sit there and say, however you want to do it is fine, because that's not true. So yes, absolutely. It is our responsibility to let our managers know what's going to work for us and also what's not going to work for us. Like for me, you know, going back to that example of standing on stage, although, you know, I seem like a very outgoing person, I get on stage in front of thousands of people, it would be my worst nightmare to go on stage and be recognized. I would be so embarrassed. I'd be so shy. I would just, you know, I'm about 5 feet tall. I would shrink to about 4'7". So yeah, so it's my responsibility to tell my manager that.
I think that's probably for a lot of us. But I know, for instance, so I've read the book about the five love languages. And it talks about how we're all different, you know, and we all are appreciated in different ways. Is there a similar sort of in love languages, but appreciation languages or recognition language? And what are they? And what is the best? How can we best recognize it in someone else?
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer, and I love the idea. I did read that book, and I was inspired by it when I wrote my book. I think that it's really important to have a connection between what someone did and then what you do. So in the language that you use and the activity that you use and what you do. And I put mine into a couple different categories. Things like if someone is absolutely passionate about learning and growing, and I know that there's passion, that's my language for them. I'm going to use that with them. I'm going to, you know, like somebody who helps me with something, I'm going to send them to a training class so they can learn more about that. So that might be the thing that's appropriate for them. Other people, they just love little gifts. You know, like my daughter, you give her something little, she'd be over the moon. That's really important to her. Other people, especially with what's going on in the world right now, time is more important. You know, we're all working really strange hours and things like that. My best way to recognize someone is to say, you know what? I've seen how much you've worked. I'm not going to give you some silly gift. I'm going to give you a half a day off so you can spend it with your kids. So that might be it. Another one might be something like activities. So you know that it would just make their day if you either send them to do an activity or you do an activity with them, something to make them feel good. Whereas other people could be as simple as just words. So, you know, having a meeting with your team and just telling everybody what a great job. So they're not necessarily languages. From a recognition perspective, I sort of put them in the category of informal recognition. So what are all the things that we can do as a manager to recognize our people, going back to what you said before, in different ways, but it has to be based off of the input that they've done. So if somebody's worked, I don't know, an extra hour to work on something, I'm not going to send them home. Because it's an insult, going back to what you said before, it's an insult to the person who worked all day and I sent them home. So you need to make sure, you know, it goes back to eye rollers. You don't want to create the eye rollers by not really thinking it through.
And I think that's a great point. You have to think about everybody else that's involved and also setting precedent. So talk a little bit about setting precedent, because I know that, I mean, as a business owner, I have set precedent. And it took me a while to figure out that I can't do this. And, you know, and I had a particular perk or whatever that I set up. And then when it didn't go over very well, or when somebody else didn't get it, then, you know, we switch to something else. And now people are not as happy because they feel like they've lost something that they now deserved rather than the fact that it was a like a Christmas bonus or something like that. And you do a big Christmas bonus on a year that you've made very high profits. And then the world changes and you go through a year where you didn't. And they're like, I'm used to getting this much money. Now they expect it.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah. And that's why I think recognition is should not be you do A and you get recognized. To me, recognition is icing on the cake. It's not an expectation. You, it goes back to intrinsic. You do it because it's the right thing to do. And then, by the way, you get recognized for it. But going back to what you talked about with this whole idea of fairness and, you know, your team, you know, one person got it, one person didn't. It was really fascinating. It just happened today. We were getting into that conversation. And as I mentioned, I was with a bunch of, you know, HR apprentices, you know, 21 years old, 20 years old. And they completely derailed the conversation because they started talking about how some of them, they work for a company that does beauty products. And, how some of them had gotten a box with all these beauty products in it. And some of them hadn't gotten the box for the beauty products. And the guys were angry because they got beauty products that were for girls. So it was like, you don't even care enough about us. Why do you think that I want, you know, like pink blush? And it was amazing how it took me a while to get them back, you know, on topic because they were so angry that they had been treated in a different way. And we were talking about recognition and they said, that's recognition of us being an employee here. And you're recognizing all us, you know, us in a different, in a different way. So we shouldn't underestimate how much things like that happen. You know, I mentioned the eye rollers and it's my technical term for what happens when, you know, you really piss everybody else off. And I can remember I got rid of a recognition program at my company because it was a quarterly recognition program. And I remember two quarters in a row, I'd sit there and every month it was the same people who won. And every month I'd just look around the room and there'd be people rolling their eyes, whispering, oh, it's that person again. They win it every time. And I thought, is this working or not working? And in situations like that, I'd pull the plug on it and I'd explain it to people. I said to them, I said, you know what, until we can figure out a way that gives everyone an equal opportunity. I talk about equal opportunity approach to appreciation, then we're not going to do anything. You know, it's all being about open and honest and what you can do and what you can't do.
Well, you bring up a great point. And, but now let's play devil's advocate for a bit. Now what happens to those people that feel like they worked harder to reach that goal, or whatever it was that put them in the running to get this? And now there can be some resentment towards the other employees because they're now not getting anything because the other employees didn't take it seriously.
Well, I did put something else in. So you are right. Yeah. It's like, it's like when you punish, I talk about in one of my other books, how we come up with policies for the 5% of people who are going to abuse it. And we shouldn't put them in place for that. So you're right. You don't want to punish people for those types of things, but you need to find ways to recognize people for different levels of contributions. And I'll give you another example. I did a presentation again, and I spent weeks working on this. Another person spent weeks working on it with me. Another person came in a little bit early to set up the room, and then three people stood there and handed out flyers. And at the end, someone got on stage and thanked us all equally. Now, I was pretty angry about that. I was really angry about that. I'm like, this person spent 5 seconds handing out flyers and we're all being thanked in the same way. So it sort of goes back, you know, you need to make sure that that person who's really going above and beyond doesn't just get recognized, but get recognized in a different way to the people, you know, who still helped. I still wanted to thank the people handing out flyers. You know, they took time out of their day to do it. Thank you for that.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. What about the difference based on their field or their position? And so the first part of this, based on their field, say you're going in and it's a hospital and you're dealing with the nursing staff of 200 nurses. Now, from a recognition standpoint, I would think that you're focusing more on these are people who are probably going to feel better about when it's acknowledged how great a job they've done in helping other people, you know, because that would more than likely be their passion. But how do you make the difference and go, okay, for this field, we're going to focus in this direction, whereas you have another company that has a assembly line and they make widgets. Mm-hmm. There's probably going to be a different approach. What are some of the different approaches you would look at in comparing those two situations?
Well, I mean, each company is different, and hopefully, my book Before Recognition was on company values. Hopefully everyone has company values that reflect exactly what you're talking about. So if you look at the company values of a hospital, they're going to have ones about, you know, caring, nurturing, those types of things. You look at a manufacturing and it's going to be about efficiency, productivity, and those types of things. Yes. So if you've spent the time to come up with values, that's what you should be recognizing against, because in that way, it's going to drive the actions and behaviors that are important to your people. That's why they joined your company. And it'll also make sure that they're focusing on the things that are important to do. In the conversation today, I keep bringing it up, but we talked about, yes, we want to recognize against our values. And one person said, well, we also have this initiative this year, which is about simplicity. And everyone has this focus on simplicity in all aspects of our jobs. I'm like, perfect. Let's mm-hmm. recognize it. Let's spotlight all the great things that people are doing. And that fits that company. Whereas to your point with widgets, great. Let's highlight when someone's done an amazing thing when it comes to, you know, I used to work in a distribution center, when you're changing the flow of how you pack things and it really makes a difference. And you've saved two seconds on what you've done. You know, that's important in a manufacturing. I'm in HR. Saving 2 seconds isn't really something I should be recognized on.
But I get it. Yes. And what you're saying is they've increased the overall productivity of yep. everything by innovating one small area of it and draw recognition. Makes perfect
Absolutely.
Sense.
But be careful, because I remember this isn't recognition, it's incentives. But I remember a company, they wanted me to look at their incentive program, and I spent the day with one of their delivery drivers, and I basically kissed the floor in the warehouse when I got back, because all of his incentives and bonuses and recognitions were based off of how fast he could deliver everything. Wow. We're like whipping around corners, going through red lights. I was like so happy I was alive at the end. So yeah, make sure you're focusing on the right actions and behaviors and not ones that put your life at risk.
Yeah, I have this vision of, okay, we got it done faster than anybody. We did lose 6 packages that went flying out of the back of the truck, but oh well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we have another question or comment that has come in. I'm looking, we have about 6 minutes. It says, there appears to be an effort by the U.S. government in conjunction with major businesses to put the small business owners out of business. Do you agree with this statement? And if so, what can we, parentheses, the small business owners, do to stop this trend? And if you don't agree, please share why and what I may be missing in the discussion of this subject. And it's from Robert in San Anselmo, California.
Ooh, do you know, Robert, I'm pretty good at answering most questions, but I'm a firm believer if I'm not an expert and I don't have information on it, I shouldn't answer it, because I don't live in the US and I'm not a small business. So I'm going to just say I'm not an expert. However, I do have an opinion on everything. Okay. So, and my brother-in-law used to run a small business in the US. And I didn't know, I don't know how much of what's going on about trying to get small businesses out. But I guess my thoughts on the whole small business thing is that you have to, you know, whatever you can do to be different than other businesses. You know, my brother-in-law had a small distribution business, and he was competing with those big ones. But he did customer service better than everyone. He knew the names. All of his drivers knew the names of everyone. You know, they do special things for holidays and things like that. So they were doing things to really stand out. And then the other thing, again, I'm only speaking from what I've learned from my brother-in-law. You know, he had to change his business model. He had to think about, what are the big businesses sucking away from me, and what can I do that big businesses aren't? And then from a people perspective, because that's really my lane. What can you do to make your business more attractive than the big businesses? And I've worked for huge companies and small companies. And I love working for small companies because you can be so much more creative. You know, like the ice cream truck, one small company I worked for, we had the ice cream truck come every Friday. You can't do that when you're a big, huge global company. So again, remember, take it with a grain of salt. Don't live in the US. I'm not a business owner.
Well, but I think what you've shared are things that are more universal and not necessarily just a US problem, you know, and those are not necessarily just US solutions. If you can be different, if you can be better, if you can focus on the fact that you can shift and do things faster than having to run it through a, you know, three different levels of red tape to get to it. And so I got your answer really well. It made perfect sense to me, is just focus on the areas where you can be better and don't necessarily focus on the areas that maybe government is helping the bigger companies through whatever reasons. So I like it. One thing I want to touch on, and just in the last couple of minutes, is I felt that there were things that crossed over really well between home and business. Mm-hmm. Do you have a couple of favorites? Because you go into it in the book a little bit, but where, you know, this is one of the things that if you're going to take anything from this, this is something that's going to be beneficial in your business. It's going to be beneficial, you know, in your home, and maybe a couple of them that are surprising that people may not fully get, that if we can learn to appreciate effectively and how that modeling is going to now not only help your family, but even specifically your children are going to get it.
Yeah. And you are right. It crosses over. I did a lecture at a college the other day. And one of the students at the end said, I asked for examples of when they thank someone. And he talked about how he thanked his father for lending him money. He goes, "Oh, thank you so much for teaching me how to thank him effectively, because now I'll thank him and he'll lend me more money." So you're right. It does cross over. But a couple of things. And so I wrote two books last year. The appreciated is if you want to build a formal program. And then the one for managers is called See It, Say It, Appreciate It. And I only say that because that title itself I came up with, because it's something that I think we need that mantra, whether we're at work, at home, in that it's really simple. You see it, look for opportunities. I think that's the biggest problem is we spend so much time focusing on the negative. If we can see it and look for those positive, wonderful things that are happening, that would make such a huge difference. And then say it, do things that we spoke about before, say it in ways, do it in ways that are going to make a difference, and then appreciate it so that you can deliver the feeling of appreciation. And that's where I think we make a lot of mistakes. We focus so much on the operational side, you know, I'm going to buy 500 gifts and I'm going to give them to everybody. And we don't think about how it makes people feel. So if there's one thing you could remember, just in your mind, see it, say it, appreciate it with which actually, being in the UK, that's actually the phrase that is hanging up on all the signs in the train stations, which is, it's see it, say it, sort it, where you see it, you see someone doing something wrong, you tell someone and they'll sort it out. I don't want you to hand it over to someone else. I want you to own it. I want you to see it and say it and appreciate it.
I love that. And as you were saying it, the thought that came to my mind as it relates as much to family is this concept of, I know they know I appreciate them. And so just that reminder alone is that every time I see it or think it, just say it. Don't say to yourself, "Well, I know they know." Say it. And I think that we're going to be making a positive difference just by verbalizing what we might be thinking anyway, but they might not be mind readers.
Yeah. And, you know, there's mental health is in such an upswing, and the world is moving so quickly. We just forget about those simple little things that you're right, you know, with your kids, with your coworkers, whatever, just those few words, you know, say it in a meaningful way. Don't just say thank you. Say thank you for what you did and the difference that you made can absolutely make someone's day. Absolutely.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, happiness chemicals, happiness chemicals. Thank you. You're releasing them. There you go. No chocolate for me today.
but also, I mean, you know, writing 5 books in, 5 years, just for anybody that has not done that, is quite a feat. So thank you for taking the time to, what you're doing is you're seeing it, you're saying it, and then you're writing it to make sure that you can pass it on. You pass it on to the next, which again goes to pay it forward. Everything works together with what you're doing. I think it's beautiful. So thank
you. You're
going
to have to write my next book with me. You're good.
There we go. I'm in. Now, in regards to the book, so again, for everybody out there, appreciate it. The Playbook for Employee Recognition. But again, mm-hmm. there's 5 different books. So is the best place, what is like the website, the best place to go to have access to all of them?
Just Google me on any of the book ones, any book website. I don't want to favor one over the other, but if you put my name in and you can see them all, whichever one makes sense. But on my website, I'm all about freebies. On my website, which is Debco HR, in the free resources, if you don't want to buy the books, there's free resources. You can download them. There's blogs. So yeah, by all means, that's there to help you as well.
All right. Now, if those of you that are driving, don't try to write any of that stuff down. We'll make sure that we put it in the show notes at answers.network. But if you're going to Google her, it's Debra Corey, and it's D-A-B-R-A and C-O-R-E-Y. So you've got the correct spelling. We'll also have all of that on the Answers Network site. So again, Debra, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right. And for everybody out there, be with us next week when we're joined by Ron Baker as he discusses his new book, Bright Lights, Big Empty, A Journey of Profound Awakening. And for more information on that show and other great upcoming guests, visit our website at Answers Network, or just subscribe to the show through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many more popular podcasts. If you just want to forward one of the shows to someone else, you'll find plenty of things there that will hopefully meet your needs and make your life happier, healthier, and more successful. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.